Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate show times, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is West Shield, being afraid to receive or feel. And I think you'll be surprised at the direction that this topic goes in tonight. Hopefully it will be something that resonates with you all, regardless of when you actually are listening in. Just a few housekeeping details before we dive in. This show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page. There's been some traffic recently, so thank you to all who have been doing that. It's called Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, and you can contact me by email, carolyn@blisshealingarts.com, or through my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 Network has over 1.2 million listeners in more than 125 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time, so I invite you to have a listen. Our last show was called Shawl Medicine, Finding Happiness, and in that show we explored the concept of taking the shawl, which was a Paiute teaching that came into being when some members of that tribe realized that they could no longer live in the white world and with those new customs, and they went back to a traditional way of life for their people. So that concept of taking on the shawl becomes a metaphor for the ways that we might have forgotten ourselves or our essence or the things that that we need and crave in our lives to really be happy. So you can listen to that show in the DreamVision7Radio.com archives, and it actually might be playing on DreamVision7Radio.com during the week. But tonight, our topic is West Shield, being afraid to receive or feel. We'll be looking tonight at transformation, about the need to balance intuition, attachment, and we'll see how much we have time for. First off, I'd like to explain the West. The West is the direction on the medicine wheel that represents our shadow side. It represents and symbolizes the process of going into the cave to explore that shadow side. It's also the place of our ancestors. And so the West card in the Native American Sacred Path card deck that I use all the time incorporates all of those ideas of the West in general, and it also really emphasizes introspection, this time to contemplate our goals. The card itself is number 10, and that speaks to completion of some milestone or stage in life. So really doing the introspection necessary to identify sort of where completion needs to happen, how to wrap something up. There's also this caution in the West Shield card about sort of overdoing it and getting sort of out of balance, where sort of your male side, your masculine side, and that driving energy to achieve is just way out of whack and needs to come more into balance with the female energy of allowing, of receptivity. And so it speaks to this time for retreating and going within for information. So you might want to contemplate this in your own life to say, okay, how am I perhaps overdoing it in that sort of male side of me of needing to push, 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 drive, drive, drive? How do I need to balance that out with being in more of a space of allowing and receptivity? And allowing and receptivity for what? Like, what's the next step? Because, you know, you don't want to then overdo it on the female side and just be in this space of allowing. You need to really marry the two in a way that the things that come to us, the inspiration that comes to us, the goals that we set as a result of the introspection that we do leads us to then bring our masculine side forward and manifest on the earth. So if you think about our title tonight, or our subtitle for the West Shield, being afraid to receive or feel, I want you to think about this in terms of our intuition. A lot of times people, especially those of us on a spiritual path, where, you know, we want to get the information. We want spirit to be communicating with us. We want to hear it or feel it or know it. But there's something in us that is resisting or afraid. Like, we're, you know, the information is coming at us all the time, and yet we block it in some way because of some fear. You know, we're afraid to receive it. We're afraid to be open to it. We're maybe feeling not worthy to it, or we let our ego get in the way. Like, oh, who am I to think that that bit of information was spirit communicating with me? You know, we get stuck in that. And sometimes we also don't recognize, or we don't pay enough attention to the actual physical sensations that we get that allow us to recognize that we are getting information from spirit. For me, what has been developing tremendously over the, I mean, it's always been there to some extent, but probably the last year or so, I just run energy and get goosebumps all over me when I'm saying something that I need to pay attention to, or sharing information that feels very spirit-led. The other thing that really works for me on the physical level, and that I've come to trust, is the pendulum and what information gets brought to me through that. Everything that I present in the radio shows comes from my working with my Sacred Path card deck and the pendulum to pull the resources off, you know, my bookshelves and off my desk, and to figure out the order of the information that I need to share and how to kind of make it all sort of fall together. And that, to me, is my sort of willingness to allow that mechanism of the pendulum to speak to me and manifest things on the physical level. So really paying attention and not making that mistake of being unconscious and losing sight of the rich communication that is always coming through and to us. A little example that I wanted to share about the importance of paying attention. I'm involved in the Maynard Dog Owners Group. I'm on the board there, and we are have been the last couple of months since the park opened for the season, having some challenge around big dogs and small dogs getting along together in the park for a whole range of reasons, not attributing blame to any particular dogs or owners or anything of that nature. But what came out of the reports that we were getting that either folks or dogs were having difficulty was that we decided to pilot a program for a small dog hour of playtime where, you know, if your dog was 30 pounds or lighter, he or she could come and participate. So we've been doing that for a few weeks now, and I've been really sort of cheerleading this effort and showing up every, you know, Saturday and Sunday for that hour with my dogs, who are in, you know, sometimes successful, sometimes not there. And so yesterday, when I was talking with a colleague and friend of mine, she made sort of an observation that just really stuck with me. And that was, you know, when everyone is paying attention to their dogs, things go really well. You know, so pay attention and good things are happening there. And I think that applies in other areas of our lives, too. When we're paying attention to what's going on, to the verbal and nonverbal communication, to the messages that spirit is sending to us, you know, through nature or through, you know, a book that falls off the shelf at the library or the bookstore, or, you know, the song that comes on the radio when you just happen to flip it on, things like that. So paying attention, so incredibly key. Okay. You know, the other thing I wanted to share that feels really related to this is this idea of where our wellness comes from, and how when we're blocking things, when we're afraid to receive or we're afraid to feel certain things, how does that manifest into a state of dis-ease in our body? You know, we're out of ease, and then some kind of physical problem manifests. So, you know, this week I went to see a nutritionist and gifted healer who's been really helping me for the last several years, also a friend of mine who has an illness. So we go, we get, you know, we check our food, you know, are we eating the right foods and taking the right supplements and doing, you know, all those things we need to do to make our physical bodies healthy. And I arrived with this giant shopping bag full of supplements. There probably were like 25 different bottles of different supplements. I was going to get it all tested. I was going to get my foods checked, get on track and all that. Well, the session did not go in the direction that I thought it would. Instead of it being about food and supplements and sort of treating me on the physical level, it became more a question about the soul and where my soul was in its evolution and in its growth and in what it was crying out to do. And, you know, I did ask one question about, you know, sort of physical things happening sort of in my hormone system. And what came out of that conversation was that the root cause of this hormonal problem I'm having is in my liver. And so if you look at the emotional root of stuff that's happening in the liver, it is anger. And actually, this practitioner put it better and said it's repressed frustration that I'm feeling. And it just so completely summed up what has been going on for me lately, that I am in this space of like this self-directed anger, that I'm not doing many things the way that I would like to be doing them, and that it's really interfering with my ability to serve in the way that I want to serve. And so Mark, the practitioner, took me through this process, which was a very West Shield type process of going within. He had me close my eyes and take deep breaths, and I was a nervous wreck. I can't even tell you, like, my anxiety was so high as I was sitting there breathing and trying to allow, right, not force, not masculine force, but allow myself to feel what I was feeling, which was frustration and sadness and also inspiration, as this vision that I really want to give birth to really was emerging. And I was being shown it as much as I was creating it. So, you know, I put that out there for our consideration so that we can really look at ourselves in a holistic way to say, okay, what are the ways that we are feeling out of balance? What are the ways that we're not going within because we're afraid to, you know, maybe receive the information that we really need to receive to be able to change our lives, or so that we can feel what we're supposed to be feeling? You know, maybe the pain we're supposed to be feeling, or the anger, right? That repressed frustration that I haven't been acknowledging. The grief, that's another thing that I think happens to us, where we are really holding on to grief because we're afraid that if we give into it, it will completely derail us and we won't be able to right ourselves again. So we get sort of create this resistance within us that holds us back rather than propels us forward. Okay, so with that in mind, very interesting tonight that the second card that came out after West Shield was about the Moon Lodge. And that card is very much about rest, reflection, inner work, retreat, really honoring that need to take a break. And many of us, and I am the worst offender, we don't do this. You know we need to, and yet we don't. Or if we are doing it, we're doing it in a way where we're judging ourselves for needing to take the space. And so, you know, in light of all this, these things that we know, like we know we need to change, you know, I know, Carolyn, I know, like I get that from some of my clients and some of my friends. You know, this isn't anything new. And that's actually something that came up for me in that session where I'm like, you know, I think part of my frustration comes from feeling like I've been struggling with the same issue for decades and decades. Like, when is enough enough? How do we transform it? So information that came forward tonight from Spirit that I just thought was so perfect was from this book called Living Deeply, The Art and Science of Transformation in Everyday Life. And it was in Chapter 9, which was called No More Floating Clouds. No More Floating Clouds. And the chapter opens with a quote by Angeles Arian, who's a spiritual teacher. And what she says is that the Navajos have a wonderful term for a great realization or insight that is not sustained. They call it a floating cloud. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what I'm in the midst of right now, and I wonder if you are too, that, you know, we get these great realizations or insights in our lives, right? These aha moments. Like, of course, yes, that's it. And yet there's something that happens, and it's not sustained. And it's the floating cloud, you know, it's there, it's beautiful, we talk about it, we get excited about it, and then something happens and it just kind of dissipates because we haven't been able to mobilize in the way we need to or ground ourselves in the way we need to that allows it to be sustained. And so we generate, you know, floating cloud after floating cloud without really grounding those ideas so that they can change the world. I mean, that's what it's about, right? Like taking these things that inspire us so that we can heal ourselves, heal the world, and effect powerful change within us and around us. So I thought, wow, that is the perfect idea. Like, no more floating clouds, gang. You know, what are our floating clouds that we need to, you know, revisit and ground so that we can actually have them be sustained? So in this book called Living Deeply, it's pretty cool. It's a book that really, like, studied transformation and kind of spiritual transformation. I know there are tons of books out there on, like, change and change theory, but this is about sort of key pieces of transformation, ways that people's lives are changed for the better and for the long term. So if you think about all the different floating clouds that maybe you have around, you know, just some mundane things, diet, exercise, health, but then also the bigger things about pursuing meaning and purpose in life and serving, advocating for changes, things like that. So, you know, they take all of those things that we want to change, and they studied it to try to map this terrain of conscious transformation, they call it. And a friend of mine who is dealing with a cancer diagnosis was talking about this trip she took to Paris where she decided she wasn't going to follow any of her protocols. She was off her clinical trial of, you know, chemotherapy. She decided she was just going to eat everything she wanted to eat, whether, you know, it was quote-unquote good for her or not. And she spent, I don't know, 12 days in Paris, a place that she just connects with on such a deep level, and that to her has so much beauty sort of in the architecture, in the people, in the flowers, in the food, in the wine, in everything that she was exposed to. And she was describing this experience to me this week in this way that made it so clear that she was in this elevated state of consciousness where she was so connected in with her soul and she was leading with her soul. And in this state of paying attention and very conscious experience, So she gets back from Paris, and she goes to the doctor and has her blood work done. And all of it was within normal limits, which has not happened for her in years. And so it speaks to this sort of idea of, you know, what is possible for us in terms of, you know, our consciousness and how that affects our health, right? And that whole sort of mind, body, spirit, soul thing, you know, like just all of it. For her to be in that state in Paris of, you know, elevated consciousness, and for it to have such an impact on a body that has on and off been living with cancer for, you know, over 15 years. I mean, pretty powerful stuff here. Okay, so that is my friend Janet and her elevated consciousness example that I wanted to share with everyone. And so this has deeply impacted her. And so, you know, she's actually approaching this next phase of her healing from this sort of transformative experience. And she's looking at how can I stay in that place or access that elevated consciousness as much as I possibly can, you know, day in and day out when, you know, she's not in Paris right now, when she's, you know, at home and dealing with day-to-day life and the things that she needs to deal with. And so, you know, it's a big transformation for her. And so this idea of a transformative journey, and I'll just tee this up before we go to break, you know, it can include all these twists and turns for us and ways that we wonder, geez, am I on track? Am I not on track? You know, you can get kind of disoriented while you try to really figure out yourself, like how, you know, where you stand in relationship to yourself, to the world, what you stand for, all of those things. And sort of in that process, how do we find the right balance to allowing sort of upheaval and pain, like allowing that to shift our worldview and help us move towards liberation and joy. So I will allow you to contemplate that as we go to break. When we come back, we will continue the discussion, and I will let Mason take us to break. Thanks for listening.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's G-N-O-M-E, stedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love.
By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Involved in a divorce or custody dispute? Time to finally get your will and health care proxy in place. Need help getting special education services for your child with a disability? For these and other legal issues, the attorneys at Levine Pirro Law can help. We provide all our Massachusetts clients with compassionate, affordable, quality legal representation. Contact us for a free consultation at 978-637-2048. That's 978-637-2048. Or visit Levine Pirro Law.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is West Shield, being afraid to receive or feel. Prior to the break, we were looking at the process for transformation, that it isn't always easy or pleasurable, because a lot of times it comes with a painful experience where we have some kind of, you know, aha moment. But if we can kind of sink into and surrender to the experience, we can have a shift in our worldview that really serves to liberate us and help us experience joy. So let's look sort of at a basic definition for transformation. You know, what exactly is it? Well, basically, it's this shift in your perspective, and it can be about yourself, your life, or the world in which you're living. I think about some transformative experiences I've had. One came as a result of a soul retrieval, which is a Native American healing ceremony where you ask for pieces of your soul to be returned to you, and these are pieces that might have left after some kind of traumatic event or experience that you had. And so as a way to cope with the difficulty that you went through at the time, your soul shattered or fragmented and you lost some pieces. In Native American traditions, when someone does have a traumatic event, accident, that sort of thing, they look, the medicine person in the tribe looks to do a soul retrieval as quickly as possible, actually three soul retrievals often. So I had this transformative experience. This was like, I don't know, over 10 years ago, one of my first soul retrievals where the pieces that got brought back to me were all related to my power. And up until that point, a sense of powerlessness that I felt in the world, and that sense of powerlessness led me to really make poor decisions in lots of areas in my life, but especially in relationship and also in sort of my career path, where I felt like things were like done to me, or I let things happen by default. I never felt like I could actually sort of have an impact myself, that I didn't have the power to, you know, say no to things either in relationship or in my job. And so I really created sort of a dynamic where I felt victimized all the time. I was victimized often, and yet, you know, it really was as a result of this sort of construct that I had set up or the soul piece that was not available to me. Once it was brought back, wow, everything shifted for me, and I was able to make some significant changes. So that's, you know, I would say an example of a transformation. Another transformation that I went through happened during a vision quest experience that I had, which I've talked about on other shows, but it was sort of being out on the land overnight and in this very deep prayer state where I was asking for my vision to come to me, and it's questing on sort of why you're on the planet, like what you're supposed to do this lifetime. And so I was there. I was on this little island in the middle of nowhere, Maine, and I was praying and praying and praying. But I was praying for things in my life to be a certain way, for, you know, this person to love me, and for, you know, my dad not to have died, and for just, you know, things outside of my control, really, to change. And so the first half of the night, that was what my prayers were all about. Then something shifted, and maybe it was just, you know, having fasted and been very much at the mercy in some ways of this ceremony where, you know, I was there all night. No one was coming for me till dawn, and I'm sitting there with myself and the elements and animals, and all of a sudden something shifted from sort of wanting things in my life to be a certain way to wanting me to be a certain way. For me to show up differently to the things that were happening in my life, and for me to be able to surrender to what was happening in my life, you know, having just lost my father a few weeks earlier. And it was a transformative experience, truly, and helped me so much as I went home from that experience to learn that my grandmother was dying, and that a week after that, my other grandmother would also have passed away. So, but it was as a result of that transformation that I went through of, you know, me to be a different way and to surrender. You know, sitting there on that island, there was nothing I could do but surrender. No one was coming for me. I was there. And so what I chose to do with that experience was really all up to me. By the same token, when I got home, you know, there was no question that, you know, my grandmother was not going to not die, and my other grandmother was not going to not die. So resisting those happenings did not serve, but surrendering into it and showing up for it, not being afraid to feel through that or to be introspective, to be in that West Shield place as I honored my ancestors, was transformative. So the experience in the vision quest transformed me, as did the resulting experiences. So I'm offering that for your consideration. With any transformative experience, there's usually some kind of catalyst, some kind of direct subjective experience that you have. And within that experience, there's a crossroads moment oftentimes where you have a choice, that you're either going to sort of assimilate the experience into your current thinking, or you're going to allow a shift to your worldview. Now, sometimes when we don't make the shift, we end up getting into kind of a fundamentalist, inflexible, even fanatical stance. But boy, if you do shift, you can just be forever changed, and how you show up to the world can be entirely different. One of the things that really helps us to get, that makes us more likely to shift, is cultivating within ourselves vulnerability and an openness, right? A willingness to receive the experience, a willingness to feel what comes up for you as a result of the experience. You know, and sometimes initially we will like sort of resist those things, but then it gets repeated. Right? And that repetition itself, similar experiences of the universe presenting something to us over and over until we finally pay attention to it. I mean, that carries weight. You know, we get these confirmations. And, you know, some of us need, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 times, at least initially in this transformation process, before we say, okay, all right, I get it. I believe it. Okay, I need to pay attention to this. And, you know, then maybe it's fewer and fewer times for repetition. I know for me, I no longer question the pendulum when I'm picking material for the show. I no longer question what chapter I'm supposed to go to and what page within that chapter I'm supposed to somehow, you know, incorporate into the content. You know, and along with these confirmations, a lot of times what will happen is that we'll start to develop a language for it when we see sort of things in nature, or when we look to maybe some kind of card deck, or even spiritual affiliations that we have as a way to sort of structure meaning or apply meaning to the transformations and experiences that we're having. And so that's something I want to dive into a little bit as we enter the final segment of the show, knowing that really openness is key, the vulnerability piece is key. I want us to talk about that a little bit. Having people that you can talk to and share these experiences with that can help guide you, or even just witness you and listen, you know, really participating in that supportive community can really give you time for integration, to take those inner experiences, outer confirmations, let them, you know, be mutually reinforcing. For me, doing the radio show is the most integrative experience I have each month. The second is the circle that I've recently become a part of, where we're a circle of women who witness and support each other. So I will leave you with that and allow Mason to take us to break. And when we come back, we will put a nice little bow on everything. Talk to you in a few.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal, to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs. Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, we're in the final segment of our show, West Shield, Being Afraid to Receive or Feel. One of the things we've talked about this hour is this Navajo concept of no more floating clouds. And that is a teaching around having an inspiration or life-changing realization, something incredibly momentous that we think is going to change us forever, but that for some reason we can't seem to sustain. And I feel like this is a theme in my life for many decades. I wonder if it is relevant or resonates with you in any way. So we've talked about, you know, what are the ways that we can actually sustain a big transformation in our lives? We talked about sort of the catalytic events that sometimes rise up that allow us to have these, like, aha moments and the choice points that are involved where, you know, we can either assimilate it into our current worldview or allow for a shift to take place and integrate that experience so it does have staying power. We talked, too, about this idea of being open to receiving information from spirit, not putting up barriers, and feeling what we need to feel, what we need to move through, so that we can get the information we need from spirit, so that we're not sort of in the stuckness of fear or unexpressed emotions that maybe even are creating some kind of state of dis-ease on the physical level. And also, while we're speaking of the physical, are we allowing ourselves to pay attention to and to actually feel the physical sensations in our body when we are experiencing a truth or experiencing a communication from spirit? You know, what shows up in our bodies? Is it some kind of little flutter in our gut? Is it something, you know, is it goosebumps, which is something that I get all the time? So really setting up all of these systems and really just even being open to these things happening can really allow us to move through a transformation, to have it have staying power, to really allow us to get into a co-creative partnership with spirit. So, you know, as we round out the show tonight, I wanted to talk about another work, another teacher. This is a book called Daring Greatly. I've spent other shows on it because it is that good. It's written by Brené Brown. One of the things that Brené has spent her career on is studying vulnerability. And so this book is about how to be greatly vulnerable and open and therefore able to fully experience our world. And what I want us to focus in on tonight that I don't think we've talked about in prior shows comes from her chapter called Mind the Gap, Cultivating Change and Closing what she calls the Disengagement Divide. And this, to me, lines up so perfectly with everything we've been talking about. What she says is that, you know, minding the gap is a daring strategy. We have to pay attention to the space between where we're actually standing, she says, and where we want to be. And isn't that what transformation is all about? You know, we're here, but we want to be there. How do we mind that gap from where we are to where we want to be? And she goes on to say that, you know, even more important than that is practicing the values that we're holding out as important in our culture. So she goes into an explanation of this idea of how do we align our values with our action? How can we be called upon to mind that gap and then really be consciously aligning what we say we value with what actually gets expressed in our lives? That, to me, is the whole crux of this. And when I think about sort of the strategy of that, you know, it's your game plan, how are you going to do that? But then how do you look at the culture that you're living in? The culture is sort of who we are, it's the way we do things around here. That's kind of the most basic definition that she shares with us, and she attributes it to her colleagues Terrence Deal and Alan Kennedy. So now if we apply this idea of culture, the way we do things around here, and I look at my own personal culture, you know, how am I doing things around here in my own life? How am I showing up for it? Who am I? Like, that speaks volumes to me, right? Like, what am I saying I care about, but what am I actually spending my time on, right? Like, what behaviors of mine do I think I need to reward? What behaviors do I think I need to punish? Like, that will tell me something about my culture, about your culture. You know, where and how am I spending my resources, so my time, my money, my attention? You know, what expectations have I set for myself? What expectations have you set for yourself? Which ones do you actually follow? Which get enforced? Which are ignored? All of these things help us answer sort of what our culture is. I think about that idea of, like, my own culture and then what is called aspirational values, right? And so this is something that Charles Kiley defines as the elusive list of values that reside in our best intentions. That is so perfect. Our aspirational values are the elusive list of values that reside in our best intention. Now that's to be, you know, compared to our practiced values, right? How we actually live, how we actually feel, behave, think. Are we walking our talk? So, you know, what do we say we value, and what values do we actually practice? Like, holy smokes, if you can kind of spend some time in, you know, the West Shield sense of really, like, going within and saying, you know, what is true for me around aspirational versus practice values? I can give you some examples in my own life. Happy to share where I fall incredibly short. I think about my dogs. I am passionate about animals. I'm passionate about rescue work. I'm passionate about alleviating suffering in animals. The outrage I feel when an animal is abused in some way, it's off the charts. Then I think about how I sometimes am caring for my own dog. How there's, you know, there are training needs that are going unattended. Or maybe there's a walk that gets missed, or I'm so tired and I don't spend time that I need to spend. And I thought, this cannot stand. And about a month ago, I made a huge shift in what I, you know, said was my value and what I was actually practicing. And I brought those two things into alignment. And there is power, my friends, in aligned values, what we say we value and what we practice. Another example I'm happy to share with you all where I fall short, I will say, I will have an aspirational value where I will say, there is nothing more important to me than family and my relationship. What is my practice value? Workaholism. That could be, you know, the case study. I could win an award for the level of workaholism that I engage in. Something I really need to look at and pay attention to. And I feel grateful just to have this, like, this light shone on this for me tonight. Same thing in the area of service, which I say is so important to me. There's this aspirational value that I have, and then how I practice it. And so, you know, it's so important that each of us kind of goes through this exercise, not with judgment, like don't beat yourself up about it, but just be honest about it. Be aware. Have that sort of evolved consciousness that I talked about earlier, about my friend in Paris, where she was in this elevated state that she was able to kind of so appreciate the life around her that it shifted things for her on the physical. Like, how can we do that for ourselves, too? I have a client, and lately we've been talking a lot about her passions, and she's got this list of stuff that she wants to do and isn't doing. She wants to paint, and she wants to write, she wants to travel, but why isn't she doing any of these things? And so we really unpacked that and had a conversation where, you know, I was able to kind of reflect back to her to say, well, you know what? Are you really passionate about those things? I think you think you are, but maybe why don't you look at the ways that you're spending your time, what your practiced values are, and see if maybe there actually is passion there. And so one of the things, of course, is her children and having the time that, you know, she wants to be able to raise them and to spend time with them and to give them rich experiences. Well, that right now, you know, she is dedicated to that and she's doing it. So if she's not painting on, you know, paint night at the local pub, then I think she shouldn't maybe beat herself up about it. So going through those conversations and allowing yourself to see, you know, what are my aspirational values? What are my practice values? How can I align my values and really feel the power that's there? I think a way, too, to kind of deepen this whole process, and as we take a look at that, is to look at our attachment to things, you know, our attachment to beliefs, our attachments to people, our attachment to things. And it's both sort of negative attachments and positive attachments. I mean, we have beliefs, we have people in our lives, we have things that we think we just cannot live without, beliefs that we just cannot live without. If we change our mind about something, God will strike us down kind of belief. And so, you know, we live in this way that kind of does not liberate us, let's put it that way. So how can we really, you know, as we're looking at aligning our values, how can we also look at our attachments and say, can I live without some of these attachments, right? There's a great book that I just found out about tonight called At Home in the Muddy Water, A Guide to Finding Peace Within Everyday Chaos by Ezra Beda. And it's really kind of funny. He gives an example in the book about the speaking engagement that he had. And during the talk, he was telling people that a few of them would be brought up on stage to sing in front of everyone. And as soon as he said that, the tension in the room just, like, went up a few notches. It reminded me of when I was in law school and the professor would be getting ready to call on somebody. So, you know, he makes that announcement, the tension rises, and afterwards, many people admitted that the thought of singing in public just made them cringe. So they weren't actually reacting to the singing, they were reacting to what they thought would be an assault on their self-image if they were up on stage feeling vulnerable because they were asked to sing. And that's an attachment that people have that, you know, we'd rather cling to than give it up to be free. I offer that for your consideration as we close tonight's program. I thank you all for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is August 9th, where our topic is Sweat Lodge, Moving Energy. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you all moments of grace descending. Thanks for listening and take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.